overflowing with love. I am overflowing with happiness. I am filled with the power to make a change, to create a brand new life. I am.
Welcome to the podcast of the Sunday Celebration from the Center of Spiritual Living in Huntsville, Alabama. We hope you feel the grace, the beauty, and the love of our community as you hear the message of the week.
So as the sound of the bell moves into a resonant silence within, we feel its power to impact the world through our own awareness. When we know that the whole world exists within us, instead of trying to change the outer, when we begin to perceive it in a new, fresh way from within, we literally affect the world without. So today we're going to talk about possibilities and how to be simply possible for us to connect not only to the inner, but to the inter, meaning each other, and then to the outer. All is an aspect of widening the circle where there is no other. Remembering Einstein that says we must go beyond the perception of separateness in order to experience unity consciousness. In unity consciousness, everything is an aspect of the one self. And so each of us is a thread in the web of life. And each of us affects this web of life by being who we are in spirit and in truth. Truly an aspect of the divine. And when we come together in this community, a community of coherent souls, eternal souls, spiritual beings, then we potentiate those possibilities. And then we become a community of two or more are gathered in my name, as Jesus would say, in the nature of the one life. Then that one life, that beautiful imprisoned splendor, that golden Buddha within, the light of the one, can shine then through all of us. And as we see it in the other, we're actually seeing our own self mirrored. And so then life becomes this glorious opportunity to show up for the moment and to claim our rightful inheritance. And then those patterns of unworthiness just fall away, like the cement off the golden Buddha. They fall away because it's not the truth. And then the truth comes shining through the light within. All the great teachers have talked about humanity as beings of light. In the Quran it says, Nur ala Nur, light upon light. So when we come into this gathering today, we meet in that light. Not in our conclusions, not in our belief systems, not in our unworthiness. We meet in the light of the One. And then we hear the Buddha say, be a light unto the world. And what that says to my humble soul is, let your light shine, as Jesus would say, and bring it into the dark places. And the darkness comprehendeth it not, because the dark places are all confused and filled with conclusions and beliefs and judgments and stories, and the light knows nothing of that. The light just knows how to shine. And so we come into this experience this Sunday morning to have a radical shift. A shift into wholeness. And we smile because all we did was strike a bell. All we did was go within. All we did was listen deeply to that still small voice that doesn't get louder, but gets clearer when we become still. So I invite you to enter into the breath consciously. Breath is another word for spirit. And when you realize all we ever have is the breath is always present moment oriented. It doesn't think about the future breath. It doesn't speak about past breaths, but it lives in the current breath of now. And when that breath can become conscious through a conscious inhalation, and then through a conscious exhalation, we can let go of whatever pattern, whatever story we're telling ourselves. We can just let go with an exhalation and we're free. We're free from our own self-inflicted nonsense. And then our tale of woe falls away. And we arrive at this present moment. And we're being held by this love. This love that's always been holding us. We are held in the hands of grace, forever safe in the arms of love. Like a child who needs protection from a mother's warm embrace, we are held in the hands of grace. So I invite you to feel into that, to know that we're held by the Divine Mother and the Divine Father, that heaven would be our father and the earth would be our mother. And we are an expression of both, human and divine. And so we embrace our humanity, but yet we always remember our divinity. Ram Dass says, we prepare to die by knowing that we are an eternal soul that would never die. And so we come here to remember this eternality of our nature and yet celebrate this incarnation that we've so graciously been given. Here to receive and to give love, and here to serve the one in the many, and the many in the one. We come together in this sacred moment to be all that we were meant to be, so that we can then carry our doing from that beingness. So when you're ready to come play in this field of possibility with me, I invite you to open your eyes, maybe touch your heart, and feel that connection of the heart and the head that come together. I love playing in this field of revelation, this field of discovery, because the discovery never gets stale. How could it get stale to wake up in the morning and say, I've got another day on planet Earth to experience the intimacy with the moment? You know, I woke up this morning and my little pug was lying at the foot of the bed and he was as still could be. And you know how the mind can run away with a thought? I thought, I don't think he's breathing. So I went down and I'm touching the pug and he doesn't move, and I'm stroking the pug and he doesn't move. And then all of a sudden a little snort came out and he rolled over and he had a little warm belly, and I thought, oh, he's still here on planet Earth. And you know, it was just one of those moments that you have every now and then. Terry's nodding her head. And I was so grateful that he's still got another day in paradise with his daddy. And he's getting old now. My sister-in-law is visiting from Maine. And she says things, because she's a Sagittarius like me, that sometimes are inappropriate, but I know she means well. She said he's one step away from the grave. And I said, Lynn, I know he's old. I know he has one eye. He needs to be pushed around in a stroller. But I said, he's still here, and he still has his crazy personality. And then, you know, you kind of laugh at the illusion of death. And we were talking about it in our revealing service this morning. It's a companion to life. And, you know, in the Christian tradition, they say if you can die daily to this idea of you as separate, then you're born daily into a realization of that which was never born and never dies. And so then it becomes a sacred practice. And then death is brought into life as companions. And then what we are doesn't die. Then we can really fully live. My beautiful niece is giving birth. She's 11 weeks pregnant, and she notified me yesterday. I kind of knew because her mother told me secretively, but I was waiting for her to tell me. And I said, who do you suppose might, you know, because I believe that the soul chooses the parents. And I says, maybe this will be one of the reincarnations of all the many you've known before. And she said, oh, I would love it if it was baby Speck that was in my womb. And I thought, I was so touched that she would pick the little dog that, now, you know, it'd be nice if she picked maybe her grandmother or a human, but she, and I said, that's so sweet. I said, but you know, the beautiful thing is whoever chose you is the right and perfect soul for you and Sean, or not Sean, what's his name? Maddie Vaughn. And I love that, you know, so many people keep their name. Her name is Aaron Pierce, and his name is Maddie Vaughn. So they're taking a new name, Jody. It's going to be Vaughn Pierce. So he's going to be Maddie Vaughn Pierce, and she's going to be Aaron Vaughn Pierce. I thought, isn't that creative? And so life gives you these beautiful relationships to expand your circle, to know that you're all, they're all our children, whether it's the four-leggeds or the two-leggeds. And we're here to interspirit in this resonant field of oneness, to find a coherent field, and to create a community where we can all serve at a higher level. Yesterday was the passing of a man named Terry Patton, and I didn't know who he was until yesterday, when someone sent me a video of him speaking. And for 3 years, he's been creating a community. I wonder what they're called, the Republic of the Heart. And they're up to maybe 300 members all over the planet. They come together on Zoom. And what they're seeking to do is to awaken the heart of humanity in a strange sort of way to its spiritual magnificence. And people are coming and they're bringing their gifts. They're offering their skills. And they call themselves holistic activists. Gigi would love this. There was a German on the thing, she was asking a question, and she says, I'm all thrilled that you're opening your hearts and you're coming to this inner space and this interspace of belonging with each other, and then this outer space, but I want to know what action I can take. And so this one woman said, well, in this one community, in this Republic of the Heart, people come together and they want to serve nature. They want to serve the planet. They want to hear what nature is saying. So there is a community that's operating from nature to expand consciousness through that. Other communities want to work with food and health. Maybe Marie would want to be that. Eating healthily. Others want to come together in a political way where we can embrace all different forms of democracy. Others are religious people. And they said the one thing we need, and this was so interesting, is someone who can bring the head and the heart together. And I went, oh my God, do I have to join yet another group, the Republic of the Heart? But I thought, maybe it's time for us to serve at another level. But it was so nice to know that it still exists. And their leader made his transition yesterday. And he had a very rare form of cancer for the last 6 months. And he did something quite beautiful. He showed his whole community how to consciously die with grace, embracing it every moment, not complaining about it, but seeing it as a sacred dance that we can all share and evolve through. So this month I'm speaking about expanding the circle. And so yesterday I was given this beautiful opportunity to see how that circle is ever expanding itself. So I want to just share with you a little bit of what they do, because I was riveted to it. He said, first of all, we call this a social experiment where we're building community to serve at a greater level. Remember, they're holistic activists. One of the women said, I want to know how I can talk to people where we don't agree, where they're on this side of the spectrum and I'm on that side of the spectrum. How can we find this bridge where we can meet and have a dialogue without insulting each other's conclusions? And so the answer to that is you don't meet in your conclusions, you meet in your hopes, in your desire for a possibility to have a greater order of being on the planet. It's the old idea of Rodney King, can't we all get along? Can't we learn to find that bridge of oneness where we can communicate? I was sharing with the Revealing Service, I got my physical on Monday morning, and the young assistant to the doctor, she knew I was a minister, and she came running in the room and closed the door, and she said, you are a minister, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. And she says, well, I'm afraid of death. And I said, why are you afraid of death? She said, because I think I might burn in hell. And I said, well, let me give you the secret. There is no hell. And she just shocked like that. And then I said to somebody else, I probably shouldn't have ever said that to her. And she said, that might have been the exact thing that she needed to hear. And even though you think that maybe you can't spread that truth, because there is no place like hell where we would be cursed and condemned. What kind of God would create that and then give us a rainbow? You know, That doesn't exist. What does exist is eternal life. What does exist is spirit. And when you've been on the planet as long as I do, you begin to have relationships with spirit. And anything is possible. My friend Carol Carnes, she's a dear colleague of mine, a devotee of Ralph Waldo Emerson, and she was asked by DeVores to edit and write a thing on a book, the Essays of Emerson. So she calls me because I'm a devotee of Emerson, and the book came out yesterday. And she sent me a galley of the book. And of course, she dedicates it to me. She calls me her dancing partner and her cheerleader. And but what happened in this book of possibilities, she took these beautiful essays of Emerson and she breathed a contemporary sense of how they're relevant for today. You know, a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds and the divine of statesmen. So she says, Emerson says, speak your words strongly. And if you should change your idea tomorrow, well, then speak even stronger the next day. But absolve you to yourself. Find your own voice. And I said, Carol, when you get together with Emerson, it's like Fred got together with Ginger. And all of a sudden, it dances. It comes alive. It brings the condor with the eagle. It brings the feminine with the masculine. And something is revealed. So what if when we open to the totality of possibilities, which is what Ernest Holmes called the universe, what he called God. He didn't call it a man up in the sky who likes some and condemns no. He said, God, if you will, this universal presence is the totality of possibilities, and we get to discover what those possibilities in us are so that we might give and receive love and then serve at whatever level as co-creators with the divine. Now, isn't it fun to play in the universe as a co-creator with the divine? And then say, so what would you have me reveal through you? And then get out of the way. So this is what they're doing in this community of the heart. The first thing they do is face that which is hardest to face in your life. So when they come together in these meetings, sometimes they're two, sometimes they're pods, sometimes they're circles, they face that which is the hardest to face. Huh. Now for Marie, it might be a health issue that's the hardest to face. With Sylvia, it might be a grandson who's got a kidney transplant that he has to face. For someone, it might be a relationship that ends is the hardest thing to face. Whatever it is, and you, when you meet that which is hardest to face, you're not running away from it anymore. You're actually stepping up to the plate, and you're looking at it with fresh eyes, and you're, instead of seeing it as a problem to be solved, you know, my Zen calendar the other day was so wonderful. It said there are no solutions because there are no problems. We make it a problem. And so when you stop making it a problem and you show up for the moment, well, then it's a dog that's unstable that's barking, Terry. And you got to give him a little confidence. You know, I remember once I was watching Caesar Milan when Baby Speck was here because we wanted to do the dog thing the right way. And there was this dog that was neurotic and was barking and was vicious and came to Caesar. And everything that they had labeled this dog is. And we do it to ourselves. We'll call ourselves unworthy. We'll call ourselves sick. We'll call ourselves, oh, whatever. And so they had labeled this dog all these labels. And he says, this dog isn't any of that. And then the woman looked at her kind of miffed. And he says, this dog is insecure. And when its owner, when its master is secure, well, then the dog will feel secure. And it looks like it's vicious. It looks like it's angry. But it's insecure. And when it's insecure, that's what insecurity looks like. And once it feels safe, it's not going to... And it was just like this light bulb went off. And so what if we get to see this hardest thing to face as not a problem to be solved, but as an opportunity to face our own block, and then it falls away and there was no block to begin with. It was just a figment of our own imagination. And then you look at life differently. You say, bring it on. So that's the first thing. Face that which is hardest in this community. The second is allow ourselves to be positively transformed. You know, this whole game we're playing is a transformational game. We're collaborating, as Lynn Twist would say. We're co-laboring with the universe. We're giving birth to a new order of being. We used to be the neurotic problem solvers and wanted to have all the answers and fix the world. Now we're realizing that was the erroneous way to think about ourselves. We have to be. And they wrote a wonderful little book called Be the Change. Be the change that you want to see in the world. Don't think you have to change the world to make everything okay. When you become the change in here, well, then the world's going to change. When you become the peacenik, You're going to see peace everywhere reflected around you because you're going to contagion them with your own peace. You know, that's why I love to go and hang out with Jody, because when I'm neurotic, she takes me right into that calm place. And she helps me see that it was my own aberrant behavior that I was identifying with. And then something as simple as a hug can let it all go. I've learned that mastery with my animals. You know, you should see Humphrey riding around in his stroller. He's royal. He just sits there with his one eye and he looks around. He's not neurotic. He doesn't bark. He says, I'm a peaceful pug. I've gone through pug school. I've been with these two old guys for a long time, and now I just look out at the world with my one eye and I see all is well. It's true. So anyway, allow yourself to be positively transformed. The third thing, can we awaken this miracle of being within ourselves? This hidden wholeness within ourselves, this divine love within ourselves. All there is this divine love. So can we awaken this miracle of being, you know, be the one who knows no other? Then the turbulent thoughts can come, Terry boy, and you don't believe them. That's just turbulent thoughts. That's what the mind does. Thoughts think themselves. What a liberating idea that is. They just think themselves because that's what thoughts do. And then could we liberate this miracle of being, being the peace that passes all understanding, being the love, this unconditional love that embraces all as an aspect of itself, not a possessive love that clings and attaches and has projections and expectations. That's not love. But this love that just is, you know, the four-leggeds kind of have it. They can love with equanimity. They just love the whole world. And that doesn't care who it is. You know, they can love a homeless person in the ditch. They can love the president of the company. This all has equanimity to them. The miracle of being who you are. The fourth thing they do is they open to a new way of seeing and being in the world. To see this is truly an opportunity for all of us to be. And they said in this video that I was watching last night, they said, you're the ones that we've been looking for. We are this new order of being on the planet, this little community here in Huntsville, Alabama, that piecemeal comes together to reflect this greater order of being, this miracle of being. We have to be willing to offer that as a community. You know, Jesus had it right when he said, when two or more are gathered in my name, meaning my nature, I am there. So what if we gather together in a consciousness of love, of service, of peace, of co-creation, allowing this presence that we all emanate, this light that we all emanate, it potentiates itself. It's called collective creativity. When we all come together, something bigger. So in this organization, they're inviting people from different areas to offer your gifts to your skills. The scientists that know something, and the therapists that know something, and the, you know, and when they come together, they share this thing. So the next thing they do is they recognize our interconnectedness with one another. Our interconnectedness, and that we're social artists. That we you know, it was so interesting. A man named David Tharp called me from London, and he said, "You and I do the same thing." And I didn't know who he was. And he said, my mother lives in Alabama. I'll be there. Can I? And so he came here to the center. This was over 20 years ago. And what he does is he liberates this, what he calls the bodhisattva nature, which is the Buddha who serves the world. And when we are all see ourselves as bodhisattvas in service to this awakening of humanity, well, then we can. And I realized he and I were just alike. We were coming together, even though he was from London, he came to Alabama, and we're like threads in a net, or strands in a net, and we need each other. And so what he does is he liberates this soul, and then through his contagioning factor, I started liberating the soul through my dance with the beloved, and it just begins to spawn, because nobody is an island unto themselves. We're all interconnected, and that's what this organization, what do they call themselves? The Republic of the Heart. And he says we're in a, and this is the harsh reality, he says we're in a meta-crisis. I mean, the planet is in crisis. We've got environmental issues, we've got global warming. A lot of people are wanting to know how can we, in this meta-crisis, be in service as holistic activists and be an instrument for change. But the change first has to start on an inner level, then on an inter level, and then on an outer level. So as I said to you last Sunday, the spiritual practice is waking up, then waking in, and then waking out. So what wakes up is this presence wakes up. The truth of your being wakes up. You know, and you know what that feels like. It's not about you. There's this clarity. There's this longing. There's this ache. There's this got to be something better than this. When you leave the religion that teaches Pablum and you recognize that if all there is God, well, then I'm an aspect of that. When I found religious science, it's because I was hungry for truth. And you know, the truth awakens within. And so when they were pointing to this thing within myself that was awakening, and then I realized that I needed an Al Underbrink and a Jody Rutenberg and a Gigi Mejia, and I needed a Raul to show up in one of my Wednesday night meditations and talk about Bruce Lipton. And I realized it's a much bigger puzzle, and we're all pieces in that puzzle. And then when you see the truth, maybe you move here from Birmingham because you realize I'm a part of the puzzle that's up there, a puzzle that I fit in, and I never fit in that other puzzle. So the first Sunday I talked about our covenant with practice. And you know, there's a wonderful story when you live in New York City, because there's a lot of actors. I was an actor in New York City, and they say a young actor was walking down Broadway, and he says, how do I get to Broadway, Times Square? And I think it was, Ethel Barrymore that said, there's only one way to Broadway, practice, practice, practice. Now that's supposed to be a joke, but in a way the covenant with practice is your life becomes your practice. It's how you prepare your food, Marie Perez. It's how you raise your dogs so that they don't lead you to fly in the world and break your pelvis, beloved Joanne Savoy. We've all been there. I learned when I had dogs that would pull me, I'd wrap them around my waist. So if they had to pull, it was kind of like, and I swear to God, Baby Speck could have been a dog in the Iditarod, because she could literally pull you up a mountain. And when it's kind of hard to climb the mountain, you just put the leash around your waist and she'll take you up the mountain. Jody knows what I'm talking about. They have this strength. It's this pit bull strength in the thing. And then you play with it. So what if life gives us these glorious adventures so that we can come together in a participation in the evolution of consciousness, and that we will attract to us what's necessary for that evolution to take place? That's what it's been my whole life, coming to the center, studying with sadhgurus, going on the Sufi path. Buckminster Fuller, the great futurist, 30, 40 years ago, said, we're not here to fix the problems of the world. We're here to create a whole new order of being, so that when we create that new order of being, then the world naturally changes. So it's an inside job. It's an interconnection job, making a community who aren't afraid to speak the truth, Mary girl. And then the world can hear the truth when it's spoken. We have a poster in the men's room. It's Albert Einstein. It's a huge poster. And it says, I don't want to know what the world thinks. I want to know what God thinks. Now, that's the God within yourself. So could we be humble enough to listen to this inner guidance system? And when it starts to awaken, that's the waking up phase. Well, then it wakes in. And the second thing we hear is we hear those nattering nabobs of negativity. We hear that past conditioning. We hear the conclusions. We hear our evangelical religious past talking about sin and so forth. Trey loves to joke with me about our Christian upbringing, and he says to me things like, you know, I love the sinner, but I hate the sin. Now, that's what I was raised with. I love the sinner, but I hate the sin. Now, in my case, the sin was being a homosexual. And I never really considered that a sin, but the church did. And so when I could absolve myself of that way of thinking and step out of that box, out of those conclusions, well, then I was free to think whatever my soul would think. Huh? And then this evolutionary process starts. In order to evolve, we have to be willing to let go of what we used to think, what we used to identify with and as, and step into something that is fresh and alive. So we have the covenant with practice, and then the second week we talked about seeing things with fresh eyes. No longer the conditioned Baptist eyes, thin, but the liberated universal way of seeing life, not as right or wrong, good or bad, because Shakespeare says there's no good or bad, but thinking makes it so. So when you stop calling things bad or wrong or sinful, well, then they become really doorways for transformation. Everything does. And I'm at this stage of life where I believe that everything is grace. When someone tells me they have a sickness or a disease, I see that as an opportunity to be more self-nurturing and self-loving and to embrace the life with whatever challenges that life form might have. You know, Humphrey had a herniated disc. He was paralyzed from the neck down. One of his eyes came out. And, you know, I saw that was all his grace. I got so close to him, lying on the floor, crying over his little body. And Jody reminded me to stay calm. And he had the surgery. And he learned to walk again. And there's something really different about him. I think he knows that he was living on borrowed time. And now every day is special with that little pug. Maybe I'm reading into it, but I don't particularly think so. So then the third week I talked about in this widening the circle that this is a constant unfolding. You're never going to end with this discovery process. It continues to unfold. Every day I got so excited in listening about this community of the heart that's trying to awaken the heart on the planet and not deny the head, but bring the head and the heart together so that they can collaborate, co-labor, give birth to this new order of being. I sense that if we don't give order to a new way of being human on this planet, we as a species might end. We've got to evolve. It's necessary. This, our teaching is an evolutionary teaching. Dr. Ernest Holmes said it's all about involution and evolution. And if we don't do this evolutionary process on ourselves, well, we certainly can't change the world out there. We have to come together and support one another in this beautiful act. Last week, I talked about our orbit of concern. That's where we start caring for others, whatever that might be. And then see, can that take us into some kind of building a wider circle? You know, Jody likes to work with rescuing animals. That's her orbit of concern, and I so value that. Some people are about saving the planet with the trees and the environment, and that's their orbit. I heard about these people that are helping plant the coral reefs that are dying, and their divers are diving down there and helping plant the coral reefs to keep them alive. That's their orbit of concern. So could we be radically honest with ourselves? How can I serve at the highest level? You know, working with children. And I want to give you a little bit Mark Nepo. He talked about a woman, and her name was Marina Abramanovic. She was from Yugoslavia, and she was born in 1946. Yugoslavia is no longer in existence. She says, I'm from a country that doesn't exist. Now, Yugoslavia is now Serbia and Croatia, but she will not claim Serbia or Croatia. She says, I am from a country that doesn't exist. And she called herself a performance artist. And she was in New York City in 2010, from March until May, through May, at the Museum of Modern Art, and she does performance art. And what she did for 8 hours a day, for 3 months, was she sat in a chair, in silence, and there was another chair in front of her, and over 1,400 people sat in that chair in those 3 months, 8 hours a day, in silence, and she made eye contact with them. People would sob, she was making this connection of oneness. It's very tantric when you look in the eyes of another and you don't speak because the windows of the soul are open and you're kind of merging in from one soul to the other. And this was her performance art. This was her ministry to create a connection to the world. And this is what she said. She said, Marina simply sat in her chair. She was open as an artist who paints with reality to say something without saying anything. And she said, let's go back to the beginning and sit in the silence and look into each other's eyes until the place from which we all spring shows itself and we can know each other again. Not as separate, but as one. So staring at another's eyes, a total stranger, she would have these experiences of oneness. And this is how it goes on to in each generation, alone and together, we have this repeatable chance to stay possible. That's what I'm speaking about today. To stay possible. Not as someone separate, but as someone who knows I am Barbara Rollins. I am Paul Rollins. I'm not separate. To stay possible. It is a birthright we often put down and we tuck away. It is the chance to enliven ourselves to the fullest and thereby spark an exchange of aliveness that illuminates our gifts of humanity, to awaken and aliven the gifts that you have merely by looking into Finn's eyes. It's not Finn and David, it's just the one seeing itself. He says, under all the proposals and reformation, it is a covenant of being fully present with another that lets us see where we are joined as one. Now, I have a husband who cannot look into someone's eyes. He just can't do it. He says, don't expect me to do it, even the day we got married. Mrs. Gooseby, the officiant, said, now look into each other's eyes and say the vows, and he couldn't do that. It's very hard to look into another's eyes and make that connection for some people. So she says this, it is as simple and as brave as sitting in silence on two chairs facing one another, looking into another's eyes and seeing your own self reflected. She said, until the soft truth rises out of us, making our care useful. And when we can stop and let our souls rest in our simple beingness without hiding who we are, we can find the one kinship living in each other's eyes. We can find the one life living in each other's eyes looking back at us. That's one of the things I love about doing Zoom, because I can look in Lee's eyes on Zoom or Nancy's eyes, and I can feel that we're right there. We're not separate. We don't need to have that tactile thing. So she says this, such a fundamental inspiration to give all our presence and attention in order to see and accept the heart within a stranger until the stranger disappears and evaporates and we are one. We're no longer strangers. So could we stay possible in this unfolding of our own evolution in consciousness to see that wherever we look, we see ourselves there? That's why it's so profound when you say, wheresoever I look, I see the face of God. That's because then the divinity is looking through you. Ernest Holmes says, love sees only love, and only love sees love. Now, when you know yourself as love itself, you're going to see love everywhere. You know, I see love in this little pug. He's not a dog to me. He's an ambassador of love, and he loves everyone. We'll go walking downtown, oftentimes on Sunday, in his stroller, and especially girls, they squeal when they see the pug and they come running over to him. And he just radiates love to total strangers. He doesn't see them as a stranger. And they'll scream. They say, what happened to his eye? And I said, oh, it just fell out. And then they say, what's that thing on his head? He has a kind of a tumor up here. I said, oh, that's his smart bump. And he looks at him, well, of course that's my smart bump. And I just see an exchange of love, an exchange of love, an exchange of love. He's an ambassador of love. So isn't life what we see it as, and not... You know, we don't really see life as it is. We see it as we see it as. So I'm going to close with a little Jeff Foster, because this is for you, Terry Boy. This is to simply see in the darkness, you're going to find the light. In the pain, you're going to find the freedom. In the suffering, you're going to find the release. That's why all of it is so sacred. Whatever you're going through out there. And Jeff Foster is right now going through a life challenge. He's got Lyme disease. He was bit by a tick, and he's suffering. But, so perhaps openness to possibility is a beloved friend. He says, right here, right now, in this moment, you don't have to figure out the rest of your life, no matter what anybody says. In this moment, you don't need all the answers. He says, they will come in time, or they don't need to come in time. And perhaps the unnecessary questions that you all have will just naturally fall away. He says, there is no rush. Life is not a hurry to get somewhere and find a purpose, young man Lee. He says, be like the seasons. He says, winter is not trying to become summer, and spring doesn't rush toward autumn. He says, the grass grows at its own pace, and so must we. Even the rain is not rushing toward the ground. And the choices that will be made will be made. And you've no choice about that right now. You don't have to choose right now. The decisions that will happen when they need to happen. And events will unfold in the time that they need to unfold. But right now, perhaps, you don't need to know the solutions or the outcome or how best to proceed in life. Perhaps not knowing is one of the most welcome guests that life could give us. So he says, perhaps openness to possibility, openness to the simple possibilities is the best friend we could have. Ah, the possibility to discover the miracle of being who you are, to discover the possibility of being a co-creator with the universe, to discover the possibility of awakening our hidden wholeness underneath the labels that we've defined ourselves as, the possibility to be fully present in this sacred moment, to let go of the past and really let go of it. You know, someone say, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Well, I'm sorry. If you can't forget, you haven't forgiven. So could we let go of the past with all of that stuff? And could we let go of a future that's just a fantasy, some projection? Someday I'll be happy when I did. It's all a narrative. It's not true. And then You find that sacredness is right there. Could we simply be still and simply be present? So I'm going to invite my brother Raul to the magic bell. By the way, out there in virtual land, we're turning our clocks back next week. You get an extra hour of sleep. Jody will post it on Facebook. And if you should get here early, well, then you'll have me to enjoy, because I'm always here 2 hours early, and we'll have a nice chat. So this is the end of our session on widening the circle. And so I invite you to contemplate how you're expanding the circle in your world. Maybe it's just by looking at someone else in the eyes and bowing to them. Trey and I just came back from the mountains, and it was completely still up there. And there's a new app that Trey's found for his phone. It's called Merlin. It's for free. And when you click on Merlin, it tapes the birds. And so we're out in the middle of nowhere, Jody, and he's got all these birds. Now he's, oh my God, there's the pileated woodpecker, there's the ruby-throated kinglet, and there's all because of an app. And he knows now what the birds are. And so the birds are our family. You know, it's interesting. So the simple possibility of being still, I'm going to ask Raul to ring the bell. Ah, yes, the bell. Takes you to this present moment. Takes you to the breath. Takes you to that radical stopping, and then discover who are you being in this present moment. Being the life of the one that we recognize one breath at a time. I hear that statement from the Bible, "This is the moment the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it." And so as we rejoice in this moment, we don't think of future moments or past moments, even though they may flood our awareness, but we're fully present in this body. You're sitting in your chair. Your heart is beating. All the organs are working so beautifully. We don't have to tell them how to operate. They have intelligence. We observe how our lungs are operating, and the breath is moving in, oxygenating the blood. And then as we exhale, we release. And there's an elimination system in the breath that serves this body. And so we can rejoice in this wisdom that's inherent. It's not something that's intellectual. It's an inherent wisdom. And then could we simply surrender into the intuitive nature of our being? It's a felt awareness. The mistake is thinking that women have intuition and men don't. We all have an intuitive nature. So could we yield to that intuitive nature? You came here to this center not because you thought you were going to have some great experience, but your intuition guided you. It feels right. I feel expanded. Something awakens when I come here. So you intuitively return to a place within, and then an interplace where we co-share that place. And then we bring that same awareness out into the world, not censoring our words, as Emerson would say, but daring to be misunderstood by speaking a truth that maybe the world isn't ready to hear, but we're not afraid. Because we know that our role here is to simply be truthful, to simply be who we are, to simply smile and touch the heart and carry that heart-centered awareness into our doing, into our action. And so when we tend the garden, we do it with love. When we go for a walk with our little pug or whomever, our dog that might be pulling us, we do that walk with love. And we celebrate then the simplicity of the smallest of things. Dr. Ernest Holmes used to say, you can have all the good in the world that you can take. He says, but you can only take what you can embody. So the simplicity is to simply embody the love, embody the curiosity, which leads to discovery, embody the recognition, oh my God, it's all God. Embody the joy of being on planet Earth at this time. How glorious. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Translate that, see that with new eyes. It's the I am that we all share that's the way. This imprisoned splendor, it's the life, it's the truth. And we connect to this totality of possibilities by knowing the truth about who we are and who everyone else is. We all share this birthright, this kinship with all life. They're all our brothers and sisters. And so we smile at the worm on the pathway and the bird that flies overhead. And we smile at the little frog sitting on the lily pad. And we have that rainbow connection again and again and again. So I invite you to feel the expanded nature of your being, to know that we've connected to the heart of the One. And that heart of the One is where we live. And so in the Sufi tradition, they say you can take all the suffering of the world and you can place it in your heart. And then you can offer your heart to the heart of the One. And in that, there is this divine embrace that is operating and assisting the world in its own evolution and unfolding. And we co-create it by our willingness to know that we are all one. And when two or more awaken together, the potential for the planet to awaken is imminent. We are the ones that we have been waiting for. And so we get to be the change that we want to see in the world. From this elevated awareness, from this grateful heart, let's say together to this possibility that's unfolding in all of us, I honor you.
I honor you.
I respect you.
I respect you.
I love you.
I love you.
You are the divine expression unfolding in the world.
You are the divine expression unfolding within our hearts.
This divine love radiates out into the world and transforms us into our true nature, where our lights can shine and bring the grace to every sacred moment. Open your eyes, open your hands. New class starting Wednesday called A Simpler Way. It's going to be bringing the head and the heart together, 6 weeks. Wednesday night live. Thank you, Jody, for doing that. Clocks go back. Stay safe. Enjoy and celebrate each moment.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. More information, please visit www.cslhuntsville.org.